As we look at this market trade on a Thursday, and always a quick reminder, markets close tomorrow for the Independence Day holiday. We've got some strength that's been happening within the corn and the beans. We know that there's been a lot of talk when it comes to China, where we're at tariff-wise, and add to that just the focus of this market going forward. Are we going to move more to a weather-related market? Let's dive all into it. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield, and joining me is Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. So let's kind of start out what you're seeing when it comes to the corn, the soybean market, and some of the strengths that they've had in the trade.
You know, it's been really good to see the strength, and just kind of a big, you know, we step back and take the 30,000 foot view on this. We know that, you know, the funds have been short this market, probably got up to about 225,000 short on a daily basis, taking into account futures and options. We know that on the bean side, they're probably long 25,000-30,000, maybe a little bit more than that right now on the bean side. So, you know, they keep working out of those positions, and they kept pressuring the corn side. And all of a sudden yesterday, you know, we did see a nice reversal in the market, and we started trading back up higher. And if you really dig in and look at that, you know, you've got the big, beautiful bill passing the Senate, headed, you know, it's over in the House now. And within that, the 45Z is an important component. It's from the biofuel side, and in particular, probably the most on the soybeans side, you know, that has some potential to give us some additional demand, or at least demand for, you know, the soybean oil that we have. So that's been positive there. In addition, it was really good to see the Vietnam, you know, trade agreement. Now, in of itself, the Vietnam agreement, in my opinion, it's a little lackluster. And the reason I say that is that what they promised to buy is less than what they bought last year. And honestly, their tariff, what they changed for their tariffs on our goods going into them, honestly, is not much of a change. So I don't view that agreement as much more than it's great that the agreement's done. You know, and so then we have to look back and say, okay, so then what gave us this boost in the market? You know, and there's some chatter out there that China was in the market buying some bushels yesterday. I know we did see a few small sales show up on the flash sale side this morning. I don't know if there's more to come out there. Everybody's speculating on what Trump's going to talk about tonight in Des Moines. Is there something more? Is there something on the trade deal side? I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's more probably focused on just overall general support for the farmer, maybe some increase, you know, something increased on the safety nets. But that's a little bit about what we're seeing right now, Susan.
Well, and you talk about that trade deal with Vietnam, and you and I were talking before we went on the air. I love that little bit of a loophole that's in there with that 20% tariff. It's almost like saying, hey, China, we know what you're up to.
Well, you're exactly right. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because the general feeling is, the U.S. has identified a number of countries out there that they know that, and Mexico is one of them too, that China's backdooring goods through, you know, so China's bringing goods into the country. The goods are then getting shipped in Trump into the U.S. So it's interesting to see that, you know, instead of the 20% tariff, you've got a 40% tariff on any basically transshipments, which is targeted right at China. China's made the comment that anybody that's cooperating in the U.S. to make any type of agreements on in trade that's going to hurt them, you know, there will be retaliation. So that'll be interesting to watch. But it was good to see another deal done. The hope would be is that, you know, we're really close on India, you know, and hopefully there gets to be some maybe resumption of some of the purchases from China's side, you know, going forward, maybe something along the lines of what they'd agreed to on a phase one trade deal, but we really haven't heard anything about that.
So what do you see as some focus then for this trade as we move forward?
Yeah, I think as you really dig in and go forward from here, we're going to have to still keep a very close eye on weather. The weather will have an impact, but here's what's interesting. It's strange to say this already, but as soon as we get to the 4th of July, the impact on weather, it starts losing, you know, the time and the importance here. I'm not saying this crop is made by no means, but all of a sudden, as you start looking out here over the next, you know, 2 weeks, and if we get 2 weeks out, we're going to have probably, some would say, almost 50% of the crop in pollination. And then at that point, you're able to look out another couple weeks. So, you know, weather's going to have to change in here soon if it's going to go ahead and bolster this market up some. Now it sure can. The other side is going to be important is to continue to watch the trade. In the trade deals. And from two sides on that. One is that, can we get some deals done with India? Can we, you know, get something additional done with China? In addition to that, you know, what happens as we get to July 9th? Will we see an extension, or will we ultimately have to end up seeing in a number of these countries, okay, so here's your retaliatory tariff number. Here's what you're going to have to use going forward. So that's going to be something we're going to have to keep a close eye on going forward.
And, you know, Jeff, I find it interesting with this weather, because for weeks leading up to where we are today, they kept saying hot and dry and miserable for crops the first couple weeks in July. And this pattern has shifted because, obviously, the wind shear and all that stuff has changed as well. But interesting to see that they're talking a little bit more rain from east of the Rockies.
No, you're exactly right, and you're seeing some of the same things we are as we look at this. So that's where we want to be a little cautious. As much as I want to see this market bounce in here, I do start getting a little concerned that, you know, we're starting to run out of time to get a weather scare. And it's really interesting to think back to the summer, how this has changed. It was supposed to be a really warm and dry summer. Let me rephrase that, a warm and dry June. And, you know, that turned out to be just the opposite for most areas. I realize there's parts of the Eastern Corn Belt that is, you know, it has been warm and dry, and they haven't got probably the moisture that they would have liked to have seen. So, yeah, we're going to have to continue to watch this weather close.
So beyond that, what are you looking at as some of the other factors that we might see, especially when it comes to demand for the U.S.?
Yeah, the demand is really holding up really nice. As we dig in to look at the export numbers, you know, we're, you know, running over 26% ahead of last year's pace. As you dig in and look at the export sales on the corn side and USDA, you know, is thinking we're only going to be, you know, about 15.6%. So some of the stuff that we're thinking about now would be as you start looking at the July WASDE report, we know that they're going to pull the acres over from the planting intention. So they'll lower acres a little bit. But out of those planted acreage numbers, and I said planting intentions, I meant planted acreage numbers that we just received. One of the things that hasn't got a lot of talk on those planted acreage numbers was the harvested acre number. Our numbers would show that harvested acres on the corn, USDA and that NAST report said would be down about 626,000 acres. So as you bring those acres over into the WASDE, you know, ultimately you have a little bit lower production. We think there's still room to raise the demand side, you know, for the 2024 crop, this old crop on corn. We think there's room to do it on export sales. We don't see anything from the quarterly stocks report that would really tell us we should expect to see really much of an adjustment on the feed side. And then so then you go over to the ethanol side, and there's room also there to see some type of improvement, I think, also on the amount of corn that's going into ethanol. So, you know, we're looking for some tightening stocks in that corn market as we go forward and as you see that next WASDE report, Susan.
And as you look at South America, as we wrap up our conversation, obviously they're starting to talk some cooler temperatures and even some frost concerns building in.
Well, you're exactly right there. And, you know, that crop, you know, they're lagging behind on how far they'd like to be on that safrinha corn crop, you know, on the harvest side, you know, probably a little bit over 20%. Maybe 22, 23% now, but it's coming off as a big crop. And that's gonna compete with us as we go into our fall here. You know, that's going to give us a little competition as we start thinking about our new crop export sales on corn.
Well, thanks so much. Jeff Peterson joining us today. Jeff, of course, is with Heartland Farm Partners. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. Again, no overnight trade for tonight. That will pick up come up Sunday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. And that's a look at today's market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.